Morning. Wow, I get caught back there with the kids, and I forget I'm supposed to be out here with y'all grown-ups. It's good. That's what Father's Day is all about, right? The kids and, oh, man. Whew, y'all look good. Happy Father's Day. I know you've probably heard it before. You know, maybe if you're a dad or you're a son, maybe you're going to call your dad. But it's just a really cool day today to be able to celebrate our fathers. I do want to thank our sewing ministry, the Sew Faithful group, Kim Anderson and her group. Maybe you got one of those glasses covers today. Amazing. As you walked in, I got one with Marvel superheroes on it. So I'm pretty happy about that. On the way out, guys, you get a bottle of soda pop. All right, it's Coke, Sprite, root beer, so we just want to say how much we appreciate you with that. I know it's a small thing. One of the young guys today said, we get one of those fancy bottles today. I'm like, yeah, that used to be how sodas came, no matter what. Like, you know, you didn't have a choice to do that. Man, it's been a crazy week. Been a crazy week for me. We got back from vacation. We took a couple weeks up to the what some of y'all think is the Holy Land, Indiana. We cut through what some of y'all also think is the Holy Land, Kentucky. We did Grandma's funeral last weekend, and then went up to visit some family. Stopped by my mom's in Georgia, which no one thinks is the Holy Land. On the way back, sorry, Mom. Just a really good time, and it's been kind of crazy since we got back, just a lot of things happening. On Wednesday, I celebrated a birthday, so that's kind of crazy that's actually happening. I'm getting older. Yeah, so Friday, my grandson, Aiden, who's 8 years old and just loves Jesus, decided to give his life to Christ and was baptized in him. A great celebration for our family. And what's funny is after his baptism, he loves pancakes. He wanted to go to IHOP. So we go to IHOP, and guess what? I got my first ever senior discount. I saved $2 on my breakfast. Oh, man. Pretty cool. Yeah. So it was kind of cool. And then yesterday, Saturday, just a big, big day here at CCW. We had a wedding celebration for Marvin Mimi Harris. Just an amazing day. Just kind of still kind of reeling from that. But wow. And then today is Father's Day. Father's Day. Now, I don't know if maybe you can relate to this, but Father's Day for me this year especially is pretty bittersweet. You might be able to relate to this if, you know, maybe you've lost a father, or maybe you're a father who's lost a son or a daughter. You know, it kind of comes with some mixed emotions. This is my first Father's Day in 55 years without being able to call my dad on the phone. You know, it's just kind of like strange to me. In fact, I've got some pictures I want to show you of, 55 years ago what I might have looked like. But last July, we lost dad to COVID-19. And it's tough, you know, this year. We celebrate, we rejoice. I'm so excited that I had a dad like him and can continue to celebrate his life. But I miss him, and maybe you can relate to that. I'm also grateful, though, that I can celebrate the dad that I had. And also, I've got a father-in-law, my wife's husband, Ernest Dunham, who is sincerely one of the best men I have ever met in my life. And I'm so proud to be able to call him my dad today. He's still here and doing well. I've got two sons, a son and a son-in-law, a grandson, like I mentioned, Aiden. I'm able to celebrate them, my brother and his son, my nephew. There are still Caputos on the earth and Morrissey's. And so we have reason to celebrate, and we're so grateful for that today. Yeah, there's a picture of me and my first birthday, I believe, getting into some cake like I'm going to do today with my dad. And that's Joe. And again, I do miss him, and maybe, again, you can relate to that. The next set of pictures, real quickly, is just a picture of my father-in-law, Ernest, 26 years, Marine, and just somebody I respect so, so highly. And I want to say happy Father's Day to you, Dad, up in Indiana. And this is my family with my son, Logan, and just excited to be able to celebrate Father's Day with him today. But you know what? There's something even better, man, more exciting than even our earthly fathers and sons and daughters. Best of all. And I know this, and this is worthy of celebration for eternity. I have a heavenly Father, a heavenly Father who created me, a heavenly Father who loves me, a heavenly Father who made a way for me to spend eternity with him, who chose me.
and he chose you too. Many of y'all know John 3:16, and it's just kind of that verse that says, you know, for God so loved the world, God so loved you and he loved me that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but we will spend eternity with him. And I don't know what your relationship with your earthly father is or was, sons, daughters, I don't know what kind of relationship you have or what your opinion of God as a father is, but verse 17, John chapter 3, says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save us, to save the world through him. Yes, we celebrate, man. We celebrate because our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be his name. His will be done, his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We have a loving Father, and God picked you by sending his own Son, Jesus. Just absorb this today. And by choosing to believe in Jesus, by choosing to be his, by choosing to be saved, we can have eternal life. Because of Jesus, because of what he did for you and for me on the cross, God is able to adopt us as a heavenly father. You've got a father who chose you, loves you, and adopted you as his own. You know, that word chosen, we're going to talk about that for a little bit today. It's also a word that's translated in the Bible, elected, or election. And I think it all ties together. You see, we're going to, we'll also look briefly at another word called predestination. I know some of y'all were like, what in the world is predestination? And some of y'all are like licking your chops going, predestination, we're going to talk about some good stuff. Look, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't mention predestination in any of his stories or writings, so we're not going to dig too deeply into that today. And our Core 52 material, hopefully you're into this with your small groups and reading it, the essays and things, that goes a little bit deeper into the topic this week. I want to invite you to do that. Today I want to focus on what Jesus, the Son of God, actually did say in a story found in Matthew chapter 22, where we find these words, Matthew 22, 14. Many are called or invited. Many are called, but few are chosen. Chosen. So when it comes to election, when it comes to this idea of being chosen, what is the question? Well, the question is, were you pre-chosen by God? It's his will, you can do anything about it. Were you pre-chosen by God to be saved, or did you choose to follow God and be saved? That's the question of election. In other words, does God alone know and choose specific people to go to heaven, and who doesn't? Without free will for you? Or has God predestined all people to be saved through a predetermined plan of salvation where people, you and I, get to choose under our own free will whether or not to follow him and go to heaven? That's the question. And this is a question that's riddled scholars and preachers and divided churches, split schools of religious thought. I mean, this question is going to be discussed until we're all in heaven one day, and then it's not going to matter anymore. So rather than get into those kind of theological weeds, I want to simply look at the words of Jesus to help answer that question, the question of election. So in your Bibles, if you have them, turn to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14, all right? Matthew 22, 1 through 14. It's called Jesus' parable of the wedding feast. It's a story, a parable. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. If you're watching online or up in Building B right now, just go ahead and turn there. We're going to look into this story kind of in depth. Now, while you're turning there, a couple definitions and things, a little context. First of all, what's a parable? Well, a parable is a fictional story about a spiritual truth. And Jesus uses these stories, these parables, to keep his truths mysterious and open for interpretation, especially with the Jewish religious leaders hunting him down. They were looking to trap him and kill him. So Jesus spoke in parables. And in Matthew 22, we catch up with Jesus after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's near the end of his ministry, getting ready to go to the cross. And he is telling a series of parables about the kingdom of heaven. And I think these lessons, these parables, are aimed directly at the Jewish religious leaders who had had just about enough of Jesus. I mean, they were like, so he's kind of working on them. Now, I believe this is a parable that's aimed at those leaders. It's possibly prophetic, but it is definitely something that all of us as disciples of Jesus can learn from. And I got to tell you up front, this is a crazy story. All right, I mean, this is like, what is going on here? You're going to see this in a second. And in fact, the hyperbole Jesus uses borders on satire in places. Jesus mentions all kinds of characters, and these characters and their unrealistic behaviors that make you scratch your head. For example, it's fair for us to believe or to hold the position that the king in the story that I'm about to read to you represents God, and it's also fair to think maybe Jesus is the Son. You might also conclude that the parable speaks of Judgment Day, and the wedding feast itself is maybe a prelude to what God has planned for his people at the wedding feast for us in heaven. We don't know. We don't know any of these for sure. And you can study this on your own, and we'll do that this week. But what we do know is that Jesus said that somehow what we're about to read, this story, is what the kingdom of heaven is like. What the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, the kingdom, it's where God is in charge, starting right here, right now on this earth. Those of us who call him Lord are living in God's kingdom here on earth. We said that like our Father who is in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come up. And then we also have a kingdom that's waiting for us one day. It's going to last into eternity, the kingdom of heaven. That's what this parable is about, trying to capture some ideas. So let's look at Matthew 22, starting at verse 1 and 2. And you can kind of follow along. Now again, here's verse 1. Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying this story. Verse 2, ready? The kingdom of heaven is like. Kingdom of heaven is like. So whatever your interpretation is, just focus in on that, right? This is a general picture. This is something that the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a king who prepared a wedding feast for his son. Okay, wedding feast. Now, let's just kind of picture this for a second, all right? Y'all, put yourself in Jesus's audience that day, all right? First century. This is a king is throwing a banquet. Y'all interested in going? Anybody? All right, yeah, me too. This is a planned, prepared celebration. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that yesterday we had a big wedding here, all right? And congratulations to the new bride and groom, Marvin, Mimi. I mean, it was a planned, prepared celebration. And you talk about a feast. I mean, just walking into the building yesterday, and I helped set up all the food. I was like, I'm nibbling, and I'm like checking out the jerk chicken and the peas and rice and the pork and the ziti and the sausage and peppers. And it's Father's Day, and you guys are ready to get home and eat. I tell you what, it was amazing. This prepared wedding feast. Well, this wedding is being prepared by a king. Man, this is a big, big deal party that's about to happen. And verse 3 says, the king sends his servants out to those who had been invited. Invited. And I want you to circle that word. Keep that word in your mind. All right, the word invited. So king sends his servants out to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. All right, now we relate this back to today. Maybe you've gotten a postcard in the mail from a couple about to get married. We often, that postcard says, save the date, right? That's what's happened. You've been pre-invited to a wedding, or on Facebook. You know, you get on there and you're like, man, there's this event coming, and you can check yes or no or maybe to kind of help. You've been, you know, invited, pre-invited to this event. And the servants of the king, they head out to tell those who have been invited, who have been expected, people who have been already called, these guests, that it was time to come to the banquet. It's ready. It's happening. Y'all coming? Well, guess what? They refused. They said, no thanks. What is going on? Who says no to something like this? You think this was an attention getter for the audience that day? Like, what? Like, no one says no to a king, especially in a culture of honor and shame. Like, you go to something when you're invited. The whole town would come. This was a week-long celebration about to happen. This was a bad thing to refuse. This invitation. Verse 4, the king, he sends out some more servants and he says, tell those who have been invited, right, invited, that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattened cattle, they've been butchered, man. The filet mignon, the grill is fired up. It is ready to go. I mean, everything is ready. Come. Come to the wedding banquet. Again, this is a king's feast, something that has been prepared, pre-planned. There's going to be a party for these predetermined people. They're invited to come. In verse 5, but they paid no attention. Instead, they start going off and doing their own thing. One off to his field, another to his business. The rest, and this is crazy. So they start doing their own thing. But some, the rest, seized his servants, mistreated them, and started beating these guys up for giving them the invitation. And some were killed. Can you believe this? Like, you thought your wedding had some drama. All right? I mean, this is like happening right here in the story. This gracious, amazing invitation of the king is met with ignoring. It's met with excuses. It's met with murder. This is unheard of. Again, Jesus is just kind of building this story out. Is this what the kingdom of heaven is like? But it gets a little wilder. Got another twist. I mean, things are starting to, I mean, you think things are fixing to go off the rails. Check this out. Verse 7, the king. All right, how's the king respond to this? He's enraged. The story, he's enraged. He sends his army and he destroys those murderers and burns their city. Then, verse 8, he says to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited, there's that word again, did not deserve to come. Like, forget them. Like, not only forget them, but they're like not even there anymore. Does any of this make sense? I mean, y'all going like, what is Jesus getting at here? I mean, look, one thing that does make sense is that there was a wedding about to happen, and there was an invitation, and there was a rejection of that invitation, and some awful consequences happened as a result of that rejection. The kingdom of heaven is like. So now, city's burning, people have been killed. And meanwhile, back at the castle, the king still got the sterno burning, keeping the food warm, the DJ's ready to play, and things are just like kind of like, so he tells his servants, verse 9, go to the street corners. Go and, is that word again, invite to the banquet anyone you find. It's like, they don't want to come? Fine, just invite everybody. Verse 10, so the servants go out into the streets. They gather all the people that they could find, all the people they could find, the bad as, catching this, as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now, for Jesus's listeners, for Matthew's readers, this plot twist had great implications. It means a lot to us too. You see, is the kingdom of heaven like a wedding banquet? They're starting to think this. Is the kingdom of heaven like a wedding banquet where now everyone is going to be invited? All people? Good people? Invited? Bad people? Invited? And they actually get to come to the king's feast? Now, I'm sure Matthew, who is one of these bad people, all right, Matthew was a Jewish tax collector. He was hated by the people. I'm sure Matthew, the sinner, was happy to include this part of the story as Jesus was telling it. Everyone was now invited to the banquet, and many people came. The banquet hall was filled. And we have a happy ending, right? Happy ending? Wait a second. Jesus isn't done. He's like, hold on, one more thing. Verse 14, the king comes in. He comes in, he sees the guests, and he notices a man who is not wearing wedding clothes. Okay? So the king asks him, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? In Matthew's writing, friend would mean like buddy. Hey, buddy, how'd you get in here without wedding clothes on? And this man was speechless. You see, in this culture, and Jesus' listeners would have understood this, if someone came to a wedding underdressed, then the host, especially a king, would provide proper clothes for that person. It was just the right thing to do, to avoid embarrassment and all kinds of points. And this man, apparently, if we follow that line of thinking, could have dressed right if he wanted to. But evidently, he refused. Evidently, he rebelled and rejected the known terms of attending the royal wedding banquet. He thought he could attend the feast on his own terms. This was insulting to the king. So what happens next? Verse 13, the king tells his attendants, just kind of picturing this as Jesus is telling it, tie him up hand and foot, throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What? Like this guy just, he gets bounced for not dressing right? What is going on here? Well, apparently trying to get into a king's wedding feast on his own terms, in his old clothes, with maybe the wrong attitude, was really a bad idea for this guy, especially in this culture, and he gets bounced. Could this be what the kingdom of heaven is like? And then Jesus ends with these words, verse 14. This is our memory verse for this week. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Many are invited, but few are chosen. And Jesus drops the mic, and we're left wondering, what just happened? What is this all about? Well, what just happened was a story about the kingdom of heaven happened. The story about the kingdom of God happened. It is like a wedding banquet, something all of us want to be a part of. This is a place where all of us want to spend eternity. And what we learn is that, like the kingdom of heaven, many people are going to be invited. All people invited at different times in different ways, but few will come. Yes, all are invited, and some will come on their own terms, and they're going to be cast out. And a few will come under the terms of the king. And these few are called the chosen, the elected, the attenders of the feast. Now, hopefully you've been tracking through the story, and maybe you've noticed a few things in Jesus' story, not about what the kingdom of heaven is like, what this idea of chosen is, what this idea of election. I'm just kind of want to point out a few things that I noticed, and maybe you'll agree. Number one, all have been invited by the Father into the kingdom of heaven. Did you see that in the story? Anybody? All have been invited by the Father into the kingdom of heaven. I think that's part of the point. The very first invited guests, they were invited. The ones that come from the streets who were invited last, they were invited. The good people, invited. The bad people, invited. All the people, the Jews were invited. Even their Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, invited. Maybe, in fact, they were the first people that Jesus is talking about here, the first ones that were invited. He was referring to the religious leaders. Maybe he was referring to the non-Jews, the Gentiles that would come later. Maybe they're the last ones invited. In the book of Acts, we see this. We see the Gentiles, Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard the message, they were glad and they honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. This is all people, all ages, all races, all backgrounds, men, women, children, adults, from every part of town, from the street corners and everywhere. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 4 says, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Everyone gets invited. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Listen, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone, anyone, all have been invited by our Father into the kingdom of heaven. The second thing we notice is that no one leaves this earth uninvited to the kingdom of heaven. We got to let this sink in. Man, no one leaves the earth uninvited to the kingdom of heaven. And we see in the story that not everyone gets the same invite. God invites everyone openly, but not equally. Some get it at different times, different kinds of people. You can read about that again in Core 52 this week. It's worthy of exploring this. We also see that not everyone accepts the invitation. And honestly, this is stunning to me and sad. How do you reject that invitation? We don't know who's in, who's out. We don't know who will accept the invitation and who won't, but God does. And the key for us is to know him, to know the King, to know that God has invited you and he's invited me into the kingdom. And now, those of us who have accepted that invitation, he has given us the mission to join him, to make sure that no one leaves planet Earth without an invitation into the kingdom of heaven. That's the job of the church. That's what we exist to do. Our church, CCW, it's not just to gather and worship. I mean, we love to worship together, to get together. We all have our ideas and preferences, and we love the songs like we just sang. Yes, we want to worship the God. That's awesome. But we are going to do that in heaven for all of eternity. Our job right here and right now is something we're not going to do in heaven, and that is to invite, to share the gospel, the good news, with every single person on the face of the planet. That's the vision of CCW. We want to bring the hope of Jesus to all people. That's why our mission statement is the mission of Jesus, Matthew 28, you know this. To make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything. Look, that's our mission, all nations, all people. And we join God's invitation to the kingdom so that we can help other people know and understand and respond to that invitation as well. So today, I want you to know this. If you're listening today, if you're watching today, if you're here in this room up in Building B, look, you are hereby officially invited to the kingdom of heaven. I'm inviting you today. God is inviting you today. His spirit is perhaps, maybe he is inviting you today. Everyone, within the sound of my voice, you are invited to come into the kingdom. Don't miss that invitation. Because the third thing here, the choice is yours. The choice is yours to accept this kingdom invitation. I mean, do you see this in Jesus' story? Do you see it? I mean, who gets a choice? The invited guests. They get to choose whether or not they attend. People get an invitation and they get a choice. In fact, they get many choices. Again, I don't know. I don't know if God pre-chooses. I don't know if he predestines or predetermines who will accept that invitation, who will be saved through Jesus and go to heaven or not. But I do know this. He knows. He knows for sure. Because God knows everything. This is called foreknowledge. He knows all things. But it seems to me, like in the story, that God has preset parameters, boundaries, that he has set up this idea of predestination, that he has set up a predestined plan for everyone to be invited to come to the kingdom of heaven. Predestined for everyone to be chosen. That's his will. He even has a predestined plan for those who are chosen. Now, Jesus doesn't talk about predestination. I mentioned that earlier. In fact, he doesn't talk about God pre-choosing who's in and who's out of the kingdom. Now, the Apostle Paul does. He uses this word predestination in other contexts. But when he does, he's writing to the already chosen. We see it 6 times in the New Testament. And it's often associated with this whole idea of election because Paul is writing to God's elected people. Check it out. Now, as I see it, Jesus makes clear in this parable and in the rest of Scripture that God does have a predetermined way to the kingdom of heaven. And that's Jesus. He's given all people the invitation to the kingdom of heaven. And he has now given every human the choice whether or not to accept that invitation. And this might be a stretch, but it's Father's Day, so I'm going to go for it. I'm going to talk about sports for a second, all right? Is that okay with you guys? Now, specifically, any Tampa Bay Lightning fans out there today, all right? Now, I know, I'm sorry they lost last night. It was kind of a heartbreaker. But Tampa Bay Lightning, all right? We love our team, the world champions. Now, I want to ask you a question. What if you got an invitation today, any one of you today, what if you got an invitation to join the Tampa Bay Lightning organization today? What if they invited you to come be a part of the team? What would you think of that? You'd be like, man, I can't even skate. No problem. We got you covered. All right. But I already got a job. You know, I got a wife. Look, this is a better job. All right. We got all that covered. All right. This is going to be a really good thing for you. You've been invited. Now think about this. All arrangements have been pre-made. In other words, it's been predestined for you by the management, by the organization to join the Tampa Bay Lightning. So are you one of the elect? Are you one of the chosen ones? Yet. See, what I think is that you still have a choice to make. You've been invited. You may have been predestined by team officials to join the team. You may know that, hey, look, in the next couple of weeks, you could be a part of the squad that's going to win back-to-back world championships and hold that Stanley Cup trophy up, all right? The invitation is there. But to be called chosen, to be part of the elect, to be on the team, you've got to actually accept the invitation and join the team. You following me? God's elect, God's chosen are those who accept his kingdom invitation. Yeah, the plan's predestined, but now the choice is ours. God has sent you the invitation, not to a hockey team. He has sent you an invitation. I mean, as cool as that would be, you know, I'm already thinking about it, but I mean, as cool as that would be, he has sent you an invitation that is so much better. And I, for one, can stand here and tell you it is the best decision that I ever made. The person sitting next to you or watching, man, if you have accepted Jesus and accepted that invitation into his kingdom, it is the greatest, most amazing thing you have ever done in your life, and it has changed every choice that you've made along the way through life. To accept that invitation, are you kidding me? Look, but Jesus said, many are called, many are invited, but few are chosen. So for the ones who choose to be chosen, for the ones that decide to actually come to the wedding feast to enter into the kingdom, this is what's amazing to me. Man, the party is waiting. There is a celebration waiting to happen, a championship celebration. There's something that you and I can't even imagine for all of eternity about to happen. And what Jesus' parable tells us is that no matter who you are or no matter where you live or where you come from today, you have been invited to this celebration, to this wedding feast. But to be chosen, you've got to accept the invitation and actually join the team. Our choice. Or what about the guy who got bounced? What about the guy who had to leave? Listen, here it is. When you come, dress for the occasion. You got to dress for the occasion. Don't be showing up in the Tampa Bay Lightning locker room in an Islander uniform. All right, that is not going to work out well for you. All right? And in fact, don't even wear a jersey to the game. All right? So look, don't come in like you deserve to be there. You don't come into the kingdom like you deserve to be there. Don't join the team thinking that any of this had anything to do with you. You show up ready to play, ready to win, and ready to party. God's elect, God's chosen, must be dressed for his kingdom. That's the point of this parable. With the guy in the story, he shows up with the wrong clothes on and he's cast out. He was invited, but he wasn't chosen. And I believe that Jesus was making a point specifically to the Jewish religious leaders who were in his audience. These religious leaders thought that they deserved to be in the kingdom based on their own righteousness, based on the way that they were dressed, the way they carried themselves, their own works, their own robes. But the kingdom of heaven is not about us. It's not about outward clothing. It's not about works. It's not about any of that. There is a uniform, yes, there is a uniform that God's chosen are expected to wear to the banquet. But that uniform is quite unexpected. This is where Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God who came from heaven to earth, becomes the most important factor in the history of the universe in the history of your life and mine, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we go to the Father through him. That's how we get into the wedding feast, is through Jesus. We come to the Father through him, through his life, his death. Look, his resurrection made a way for our invitation. Jesus. Because God came to earth, he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose from the grave. We know that we have a God who literally dresses us in himself, the blood of Jesus, that dresses us in his spirit. And the few, the chosen, must be clothed with Christ, his righteousness, not our own righteousness. Not the things we do, not religion, not traditions, not church attendance, not church clothes, not church anything. Jesus. We must put on Christ and his righteousness. And he made a way for us to do that. The Bible's loaded with examples of what this means. In fact, Chris, man, did an amazing job last week of talking about the bottom line, the cross, that Jesus made a way for us. And we take up our cross. We take Jesus on for ourselves. Galatians chapter 3, I love this verse. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. This word means to be engulfed in him, to be buried with Jesus, just in Christ. You've clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ. Again, all people are invited. Colossians chapter 3. Dads, I can't help thinking what a great Father's Day this would be, man, for us. But if our families would start to live this way, and our kids, our marriages. Dad, this is a particular, for me, a challenge. Colossians chapter 3. As God's chosen people, chosen, there's that word, elected people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves. As we put on Christ, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Think about your home. Think about your life. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, yeah, clothe yourself. Man, this is speaking to me today. Forgive one another. So we clothe ourselves. Forgive one another as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, put on, clothe yourself with love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Y'all want to see unity today? Unity in your homes, unity in your life, in the community, in the world around us. Put on Christ. Romans 13, 14 says, clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Here's the bottom line. To get into the kingdom of heaven, you must be dressed for the kingdom of heaven. You've got to put on Jesus. Many are called, but few are chosen. God has predestined your invitation to the kingdom of heaven, and now it is your choice whether you will be one of his elected people, chosen. So here's some bottom line questions for you. Here's some things to think about. Have you accepted God's invitation to the kingdom of heaven? Have you done that today? Has it been something that you have done, you've said yes to? You're going to show up, you're there. Another question, what does it mean for you? If you're one of God's chosen people, what does it mean for you to personally, starting today, to walk out of this room, personally putting on Christ? To get up in the morning like you put on your shoes and put on your clothes. What does it mean to put on Christ and be kingdom dressed every day? Go back to Colossians 3. Those are the things we put on. Some next steps. What does that actually mean? Like, why do you actually respond? I want to tell you, you respond by accepting God's invitation to the kingdom of heaven. And again, you are invited to do that today. We'll have a prayer team up front. Our elders will be up here at the end of the service to talk to you, to pray with you. Just like my 8-year-old grandson did on Friday, you can accept that invitation and be baptized into Christ today. You can leave your old self behind once and for all and forever and know that your invitation to the kingdom of heaven is sealed, that you are going to be with Jesus for all of eternity. Man, I don't know if that sounds good to you or not, but you need to do that. We've got 3 baptisms coming up in the middle of and at the end of next service. You can be one of those people today. Put on Christ. And all of us today, I hope we will take seriously this challenge to join God in his mission to make sure that no one, not a single person on our planet, leaves without an invitation to the kingdom of heaven. I hope you're in on that. Because that's what we're here for. And dads, we love you. We pray for you. In fact, I would just say that as you go home to take that challenge on yourself, if you have been, you know, your sons, your daughters, your family around you, fathers, starting with me, to make sure no one leaves our home without an invitation to the kingdom of heaven. All of us. Let's go ahead and stand together and let's have a word of prayer and we're going to sing and we're just going to have a great day together, Father's Day together. Stay around again. You can respond to that invitation if that's a decision you want to make. And I want to say a word of prayer, especially with our fathers in mind this morning. So let's bow and let's go to our Heavenly Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, God. We love you. We thank you for your kingdom invitation. God, we thank you that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for being our dad. Thank you. God, we humbly ask that you would please just accept our gratefulness, accept our worship every single day for things like our daily bread, for things like forgiveness. God, for things like Jesus, our Savior, your Son, who died on a cross for us. And right now, God, as we direct our hearts and our minds to you in worship, God, I lift up each and every father in this room, everyone that's listening today, God, I pray that you would bless those dads, bless their homes, bless the grandfathers, bless their sons and their daughters and their wives, the families and friends around them. God, I pray for each person in this place that calls himself a father. God, we know we're made in your image. And I pray as your image bearers, we would leave this place changed by your word and your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those who would accept your call today, that they would come, that they would be and become your chosen ones. And God, I pray that no one would leave this earth uninvited to the kingdom of heaven, and that we would play our part in that mission. We love you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm.